Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, here we go. So I'm excited about this. This is an exciting I Am Rappaport stereo podcast. Got Utah Jazz, high flying, 3-point shooting, rookie sensation, Donovan Mitchell. I'm not sure, but I think this might be his first podcast. I can't confirm or deny that. For new listeners of the I Am Rappaport stereo podcast, this is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the Gringo Man Dingo, a.k.a. White Mike, a.k.a. Mr. White Folks. And we pride ourselves on no fact-checking, okay? We pride ourselves on no fact-checking here at the I Am Rappaport stereo podcast. And this is going to be a doozy. Donovan Mitchell is going to be a household name. He's going to be an NBA star soon. He's slowly emerging. He was drafted under the radar, and he's made a splash organically, the organic way, the old-fashioned way, on his own accord, by his own merit. His play is doing the talking, and his play is bringing him to the forefront of NBA fans' attention. He's been shouted out and talked about by LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, Chris Paul. All of them are big fans of him. Russell Westbrook. So we're going to talk about all that and more with Donovan Mitchell. But first, listen, Christmas is over, ladies and gentlemen. It's over, okay? It was a great holiday. You know, your presents, you gave them, you received them. But it's time to take the tree down. Time to take the lights down. Okay, my block in Los Angeles is heavily lit up by Christmas lights. And they were great, you know, 6 weeks ago. People started putting them up 6 weeks ago on my block, okay? It's time to take them down. It's time to move forward, okay? It's not a holiday anymore. There's no more balloons. There's no more streamers. It's just a Wednesday. Okay, or maybe it's a Thursday, okay? But the party's over. Take the trees out, take the lights down, take the candles down, and move on. It's time to move on. Okay, I can't emphasize this anymore, especially if you're a grown-up. Christmas is for the children. Okay, you give the gifts, you get the gifts, and that's it. It's not a month-long holiday. It's not a month-long celebration. So if you heard the final episode of the I Am Rappaport stereo podcast 2017, I said that the sporting event of the year of 2017, in my opinion, the sporting event that lived up to all the expectations. Super Bowl was sick. NBA Finals were sick. But the sporting event, you know, the money-making, extravaganza, circus that actually lived up to expectations to be a good fight. It wasn't like the fight of the year, the fight of the century, Ali Frazier, was McGregor-Mayweather. Or should I say Mayweather-McGregor, because the winner always goes first. The loser goes second, okay? The loser usually shuts up, okay? But for some reason, Conor McGregor, I think maybe he spent his $100 million that he made. He may have spent all his money because now he's back to talking greasy about Floyd Mayweather. He just put out a tweet the other day with obviously a photoshopped image of him kicking Floyd Mayweather in the face, okay? Which is never going to happen, okay? Floyd Mayweather's not going to go in the UFC and fight Conor McGregor or any other UFC fighter. I'm not having this conversation anymore. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Michael Jordan was a good baseball player, okay? Usain Bolt probably can't drive a car very fast, but he's the fastest man in the world. There's no correlation. It's ridiculous. Makes no sense. Conor McGregor got that butt beaten real nice. He got that ass cracked real nice, real proper. Yet you're still talking, and I think he's overspent his money. I think he has money problems. This is just my opinion, because why else would you still be talking about Floyd Mayweather? Move on with your life. Okay, and if you want to box somebody your own age. Floyd Mayweather's 40. He's 40 years old. Leave the man alone. Conor McGregor's 29. Why are you bothering a 40-year-old guy who already beat your ass convincingly, easily? Did you spend all your money? Do you have a spending problem? He posted this picture of him, Photoshop picture of him kicking Floyd in the face, and it says, shin bone to cheekbone, the rule set kept you out of the funeral home. First of all, Duke, you're not rhyming. You don't have any rhyming skills, okay? You got no flow, okay? Second of all, Mayweather's fist bone punched you in your face bone. And I'll say it once, and I'm going to say it one more time. You should be thanking your lucky stars that the referees didn't let you get knocked out of the ring. Completely knocked out of the ring. Okay? Because you were one more punch, fist bone to face bone, to getting knocked out of the Las Vegas ring. I was right there ringside. It was gorgeous. If you have a spending problem, I have a great accountant. Slide up into my DMs, Conor McGregor. Hit me up. I'll set you up with a great, honest accountant. He'll put you on an allowance. Maybe you need an allowance. Okay? A lot of times when people come into money, they don't know how to keep it. You know, your whole story, or, oh, you're just an Irishman. I lived in my car. I was homeless. Maybe you don't know how to count. Who knows? I don't know. But if you want to fight somebody your own age and your own size. You're 25 pounds heavier than Floyd Mayweather. Leave this guy alone. Do you have CTE? Were you concussed in that fight and it's been undiagnosed? Why would you want to keep at it? Okay? Respect Floyd Mayweather's gangster. He beat your ass. On the last podcast with G Moody, last name rhymes with Duty, who will be back for the next podcast. we misspoke. I thought somehow, some way, Marvin Lewis, the Cincinnati Bengals coach, was either retiring or quitting. I don't know what. He's a obviously a very respected coach, very respected person in football, but his teams continually come up short. They've never won a playoff game, okay? He's been there like 36 years as the coach. never won a playoff game. And I thought, I don't know what, well, maybe I made this up or I heard something, that he was done. He was finito. He was finished. And on the last podcast, we said, bye-bye. Okay, the gig is up. I was wrong. Marvin Lewis has been rehired for two more years as the coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, although technically he sucks, okay? Now, you want to talk about some wild, wild west stuff going on in the NFL. Marvin Lewis is the head coach who just re-upped for two more years, but Colin Kaepernick can't even get a workout with a team. He can't, forget a job. He didn't even get a workout all season long. Okay, I don't know what's going on in the NFL. We've all heard the Colin Kaepernick story over and over again. He didn't even get a workout, yet Marvin Lewis just got a two-year extension. He's probably out popping bottles, eating some Kobe beef and shrimp tonight. As we mentioned on the last Ian Rapoport Stereo podcast, 2018, we're going big three. Three episodes a week. Tuesdays, ours. Wednesdays, ours. Fridays, ours. Okay? More podcasts, more ranting, more raving, more raw dog without a bag. I am Rappaport Stereo podcast. All of 2018. So check this out. Isaiah Thomas of the Cleveland Cavaliers made his return. He looked good. I believe he played 19 minutes and had 16 points and got a technical foul in the first half. I like that. Kawhi Leonard is back. The NBA is rocking and rolling. This is my time. Okay? Of course, I'm a senior fantasy football expert, but everybody knows blood, sweat, tears. My intuition speaks NBA. This is my time of the year. In a blink, it's going to be All-Star break. And then we get into the good stuff. Then we get into the really, really, really good stuff. Okay? And I'm excited about it. Listen, with no further ado, I like to introduce who I hope is the NBA Rookie of the Year. Who knows? Very humble kid. Very soft-spoken kid. But in my opinion, he should be a strong, strong contender for the NBA Rookie of the Year. Let's get to it. With my man, Donovan Mitchell, Utah Jazz. Let's go. All right, Donovan Mitchell, I am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. You might be the youngest guest I've ever had on the I am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. 21 years old?
21.
21 years old, playing in the NBA. When did you turn 21?
September 7th.
So you got drafted, you were 20.
I was 20 when I got drafted.
And you got drafted, what pick in the
13th
pick.
Mm-hmm.
20 years old and you're playing in the NBA, Utah Jazz. I mean, you just sort of like, unless you follow basketball, like this draft and this summer league has been like nothing I've ever seen before because of the Lonzo Ball factor and the big baller brand factor. I never watched a summer league game, and I promise this also. This is going to be the first ever curse-free I Am Rapoport Stereo podcast. You know, even up into the draft, it was, you know, Lonzo Ball, Jason Tatum, you know, and your name was like barely mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, people started playing, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you get on the court and you show and prove.
Yeah, it's, I've always been that way, though. I've always been kind of, you know, the guy that no one talks about, you know, just keeps me humble. You know, it keeps me always wanting to willing to work and kind of put the work in. I enjoy being that guy. You know, I don't need to be the guy that everybody talks about. You know, the one that's like the silent killer, you know. Kind of like what Kevin Durant used to grow up saying, you know, the silent killer never really say much, doesn't really go out there and kind of flash. You just keep it simple.
So, I mean, I guess for you, your impression of going through summer league is probably because, in my opinion, it was the most sort of attention on a summer league. That's your impression. Like, I mean, what were those games like down there?
It felt a lot slower than college, you know, coming from Rick Pitino, where we're pressing every day and kind of going, just go, 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 and kind of helter skelter, running everywhere. It felt slower.
That's interesting.
It felt simple and spaced out, and I think that's what allowed me to kind of get, I wouldn't say quickly, Justin, because obviously playing in the NBA is a lot different than summer league, but just getting used to the tempo of being able to play slower. I think that's what's helped me kind of play slower in the NBA, realizing that when I watch myself then, it's like I look slow, I look under control, and I think that's the pace I need to play at. And I think that was the biggest thing. It's a lot slower than having to press for 40 minutes straight and kind of just run around and play help side and recover and scramble defense.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So Rick Pitino, I mean, he's one of these people like you know. Mm-hmm. Rick Pitino, like, you know, growing up before him, Dick Vitale, mm-hmm. you know, like these basketball savants, you know, you get it from Van Gundy. What's the things you learned about basketball from Rick Pitino? Specific details. I know the game, Donovan. Yeah. You could talk the details of me. Okay, I played for Riverside Church too. Okay. I was up there playing ball, so you could talk the details with me.
I got you.
I don't want the broad strokes. I want the details.
I always play with heart. You know, that was my biggest thing. But he brought the dog, like, you know, the dog out of me. I think that's the biggest thing. It's one thing to play with heart, and it's one thing to play with dog. Like, no one punks you. You know, no one gets the best of you. Like, you always go out there and you play your ass off. So, like, to be honest, like, that was the first thing that I really learned, like, whether you have 30 or you have zero, your opponent doesn't score more than 10 points. And I've always had a play hard mindset, but I think he brought out a different level because he knows how to push the right buttons. And that's the biggest thing with him. He knows how to push the right buttons and kind of trigger things to kind of make you that much better. And I would say shooting. You know, I came in as not a great shooter. Shot 18 of 72 from the three my freshman year. Shot 25%. And I came back next year, and he fixed one thing. It was just my arc on my jump shot.
Rick pointed that out to you. Rick,
that was the first thing he said.
What does he say to you? He's watching you shoot.
He said it to me. He said it to Q. He said it to Dang. He said it to everybody. But I think him and I had the longest
Who's
talks
Q?
About it. Quentin Snyder.
Okay.
And we talked nonstop. Him and Ralph Willard. You know, Ralph Willard. We had so many conversations about it, and I would spend endless nights just shooting, like, to the ball where it's damn near touching the rafters.
So they wanted the arc higher.
Yeah. Because if you watch guys like Steph Curry, right. You know, Dame Lillard, they're shooting it from farther out. But that's because the shots are so high and the arc is so high. And I think that was the biggest thing that changed. Because once the three ball started falling, that opened up the rest of my game. You know, being able to get to the paint, finding guys. And that's the second thing that I learned from Coach P. And then defensively, I had to lose 18 pounds. That's one thing people don't know. I had to lose 18 pounds. I was 220, or no, a little bit more than 18 pounds. I was 220, and I was around 195, 197 my sophomore year in college.
That, you know, that's interesting because, again, I don't know if you know this history. You probably heard about it. Billy Donovan, mm-hmm. his run with the Big East under Rick Pitino, he went from being a regular dude to, I mean, I think they went to the Final Eight, mm-hmm. but Billy Donovan bust everybody's ass.
Yeah.
He was never that quick, but he had it going, and that's what he talked about. That was the big thing. Like, he made him lose weight.
Yeah, that he's big on that. He gives you a random number, and you got to get to it or you don't play. And I got to it within 3 months. And whether it was running a lot on the weekends, I used to run on the football field when it was hottest out in the summer.
That's interesting.
If I didn't lose the weight, I'd come in at 6 a.m. And have to run. And so you just go out there and it changed me. You know, it made me quicker. You know, I was able to sustain my energy longer. So I went from playing around 19 minutes a game to about 35. And, you know, and I'm able to press, you know, maybe in different schools, I would be able to play at other schools and other offenses at 220, you know, no problem because we're not pressing.
But 20 pounds at 19 years old, that's like a lot of weight.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's not like, I mean, like me, I'm 47 years old. 20 pounds, like, yeah, I should lose 30 pounds. Like, the first 15 is easy.
Yeah.
You're laughing like you say, you think I should lose 30 pounds?
No, I think you're fine.
I'm just saying, but you kind of nodded your head in agreement. But 20 pounds when you're 19 and you're in shape, and you're a high-level athlete.
Yeah. I would say that's the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my entire life.
Was it diet?
It was strictly diet.
What are the things you had to, like?
Pizza. I used to have, before every practice, I used to have a whole large pizza from Papa John's.
Before,
about 2 hours before practice. And that was the biggest change. No late night candies after 9 or No steak every day. No McDonald's. I can't tell you last time I even had McDonald's now, let alone in school. I'll have it.
Unless we're doing a sponsorship, yeah, Donovan Mitchell, exactly. Like, yo, rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Yo, exactly. We're saying, so we're no disrespect to McDonald's. No disrespect, just saying, like, just when we were in Louisville.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. No disrespect at all. But, the change in diet was the biggest thing. And, you know,
what did you start eating that, like, what did you have to sort of adjust? Salad. Instead of McDonald's, instead of pizza, what things?
Salad.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I hated it. It's tough.
And salads in Louisville. No disrespect to Louisville, the great people of Louisville, but like, salads.
Caesar salad. And that's the worst salad of them all. That's what I'm finding out. Like, that's the worst. That's the most.
You know, I got to tell you something. Caesar salad's probably the best salad of them all.
Oh, it tastes the best, for sure. But I think it's the unhealthiest. That's what I've been told.
Oh. So Caesar, you were eating Caesar salads?
Yes.
So, right, Caesar's the most unhealthy.
But it's a salad, so right. It's better, so it's better than
Papa John's pizza.
Exactly.
So that was in your freshman year, or you're
going into my sophomore year.
So okay, like so
June,
you,
July, and August.
And have September. You kept that lifestyle since? Yes.
I came. I would say the first few games of the season, I went to Ruth's Chris pretty much every night, just because of my favorite spot.
Listen, so like, you're not? A professional basketball player. Like, you're 21 years old. So you're going to Ruth Chris, and like, what are we getting? Like the porterhouse?
The T-bone steak with the sweet potato casserole and the Caesar salad. Same thing every time.
Every city?
Every city. Everywhere we went.
And did you notice that was catching up with you?
I was like, you know what? Like, I didn't feel like myself. And, you know, I played terribly the first few games of the season. I wasn't playing like myself, and I cut it out. You know, we lost. Now I'm around like 211. It's only because I'm lifting a lot of weights now, or not.
And also, you're 21.
Well, yeah.
Are you even shaving yet?
Of course.
Like a little bit.
I've had this since I was like, I've been growing this for about.
You got the little
years.
Goatee, but can you grow a stache?
No.
The goatee, can it connect to the mustache?
It does. It does if I don't touch it, but I don't.
But like with a Sharpie, like you have like pencils. I mean, like what do we got to do?
It looks maybe about like if I don't shave for like 3 months, it'll grow.
Okay. I could grow a goatee. This is like. Nick, I'll see you in a couple hours. I got a whole thing here. So you're 211 now, and you're comfortable with that.
I feel comfortable. I feel like I'm able to. I think the biggest thing was on defense, you know, being able to guard quicker guards. Because shifting from the point guard spot, I think that's the biggest thing. Because I went from guarding guys like Grayson Allen, who was my height, a little bit taller, you know, guarding Grayson Allen, like Bruce Brown, you know, guys who are 6'5", 6'6", who I could keep up with physically. And then I went from that to guarding, like, my freshman year, I had to guard Derek Thornton. I don't know if you know who that is from USC.
Uh-huh.
The fastest dude, Cat Barber.
Uh-huh.
So guys who were just so quick, and they kept just going right by me with no problem. So now it was kind of like, all right, I need to switch it up a little bit. Now I need to be able to sustain guarding the taller guards and then being able to guard the quicker, smaller guards as well.
This kid, Grayson Allen, I mean, he's like such – he's a perfect Duke mm-hmm. player. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, he brought the hate back to Duke.
Yeah.
And it was actually like the first player that I actually liked as far as like a fan. Cause I was like, he was hated so much. I was like, I like him.
Exactly.
So what is he like? Is he pro level? What do you think?
I think if you have the whole entire college basketball fan base against you and you go out every night and score 20, like every time we've played, he scored 20 plus. And at Louisville, I remember the last time we played, I even commented and said that. Like, that what we did was too much as a fan base, like kind of booing him all the time. Like, he's 22, 20, whatever. And all for tripping. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like he did something crazy. You know, he just tripped somebody. You know?
Right.
But I think, his emotions get carried away. But if he's doing all that and having all this media attention and all that, and he's still going out there getting buckets, then he earned my respect just off of that.
He could play.
Him. He can definitely play.
So the games at Louisville, you know, the games versus Duke,
I played at Duke, yes, my freshman year.
So out of all the
Ingram, and that was Ingram, Grayson Allen, Luke Kennard.
How nuts is it playing in that arena?
I'm gonna tell you something that might blow your mind.
Give it to me.
It's not the craziest place that I've ever played.
But those are they touching you when
close.
They're doing?
They're close. They're close.
They're not. They're very clear not to touch you.
I'm gonna give a shout out to Grand Canyon University, the craziest place. Grand Canyon University.
Grand Canyon University
in Phoenix, Arizona. The craziest place I've ever played in my entire
life. Why?
So the one thing I was impressed with was the dancers have their own little dance on the stairs. And they do like the little hand motions and a little leg. And every single student knew exactly what to do. on beat. And I went back and watched the film and watched it.
Not for the game.
No, just to watch the crowd again. They got it on beat. The way they came out to Eminem's Won't Back Down by Pink. Like, it was the craziest game ever.
Did you guys beat them?
We won by 5 or 7.
Did the crowd really have a factor?
Yes, 110%.
Because I never even heard of Grand Canyon University.
Dwayne Russell, who I'm actually cool with now, he put up 42.
Okay.
And he could hoop. He could hoop too. But that crowd was, yeah. that beats Michigan State, beats at Kentucky, beats, what else we played? At Miami when it was crazy, at Pitt when it was crazy. Like, it beats at Syracuse, it doesn't matter. At Carolina.
When Louisville basketball comes into town, you feel it, right?
It's weird. I kind of put us in like a Duke because no one likes Coach P.
Right.
So like I kind of put it like that. Like no one. So we always get booed and yelled at, and I love
it. And traditionally, it's like
I loved it.
So did you grow up in New York City?
I grew up right outside of New York City.
And like New York City basketball, you know, the days of like us like being. Everything, the Mark Jackson, Rod Strickland, the N1 mixtapes, you know, the Boo Harveys, the, you know, the whole, you know, Rucker. It's not the same.
It's not.
We don't have it like we used to.
No, and I think it's a lot of to do with prep school. Prep school is a big thing now because I went to prep school as well. And if you look at a lot of guys, you know, they go from, like, a lot of guys from the Westchester area especially, they go to a prep school because they're playing against older competition. So if I'm 18 and I'm playing against a 20-year-old, 21 years old in high school, a college coach is going to take that and be like, wow, he's doing this in high school. What is he going to do when he plays against a 22-year-old redshirt or 25-year-old redshirt senior who's in his 6-year of college, you know?
Right.
So college coaches kind of take that and kind of look at it. And the basketball, in my opinion, has gotten a little bit better in prep schools, much better. You know, Brewster Academy, where I went to school.
Where is that?
In New Hampshire.
Okay.
So, like, we have Chris McCullough went there.
Right.
Mitch McGarry, Will Barton.
Right.
We have a lot of guys that went there. And
it's kind
of
like a, what's the one down south?
Montverde or Oak Hill?
Oak Hill. It's like Oak Hill exactly. North, right?
But we have post-grad. So, Oak Hill doesn't have post-grad. That's the only difference with Brewster.
So, what does that mean, post-grad?
Post-grad means you graduated and you do one more year of high school. So, it's like...
To get you ready for college.
Exactly.
So okay.
That's why I say, like, the prep school basketball, the one that I played in with the post-grads is a lot tougher because... I came in as a 17-year-old playing against Chris and Jared Terrell, who were 21,
right
at that time.
These dudes are pushing the limit of how many years you could stay in this school.
Exactly, and it's nothing. It's not like they did anything like illegal or anything.
Right.
It's just you're allowed to do a post grad year. So now I'm going against guys. I'm small for that team, and I'm coming there guarding against guys who are. 220, huge, right. You know, going out there. And, you know, Jalen Adams, who goes to UConn, Justin right. Simon. We had so many good players come out of that program who are going to do big things.
And what about, like, because I told you, I played for Riverside Church. This is eight. You know, and it was everything. Like, what is Riverside Church and the Gauchos and, like, the AAU teams in New York City? Are they dope? Are they not dope? Is it all L.A.? Is it Vegas? Or is it just not the same anymore?
I don't think it's the team so much anymore. I think it's where you play. I mean, I think, and I say that, I mean, like, if you play I don't know the tournaments anymore. I feel like I'm getting out of it. But, like, if you play in Peach Jam, like, Peach Jam is big. The Players was always a big team, the New Jersey Players. Lightning is always a big one. Scan.
These are not in the city?
These are all in the city.
Oh, okay.
Players is in New Jersey. Scan and Lightning. Lightning's in Long Island.
Okay.
Scan is in Queens, I believe, or the Bronx, something like that. But there's so many teams out of New York that play there, but that have, like, Thomas Bryant play for Scan. Chris McCullough play for Scan. Tyus Battle
from
Syracuse played for Scan. Who else played on Players? Kyle Anderson played on Players. I'm trying to think.
So it's still the same. It's changed. There's still dudes that could play.
The Carolinas are doing pretty well with AU basketball right now. I would give them the nod. The Carolinas are doing real well.
Okay.
As I've gotten older, it's been the Carolina down south has pretty much taken over a lot, and that's hard for me to admit being from New York, but. Down south, there's a lot of guys now.
And what about the Rucker? Did you ever play in the Rucker?
I did.
And when you were how old?
I played in there a few times. The last time I played in there, I played in the Reebok All-Star game. And Shaq was my coach.
That's dope.
Going against Cameron.
Wait, Cameron the rapper?
Yeah. Like, and he was the opposing head coach.
Oh, okay. He wasn't playing because he used to be able to play.
Yeah, no. I wasn't playing against him. It was me, Dwayne Bacon,
okay,
Corey Sanders, Admon Gilder. There were so many different guys.
But okay.
Me and Dwayne are the only ones that are in the NBA right now.
Okay.
I believe Derek Jones was in it too.
Okay.
But yeah, we played against what would be the New York team.
I got you. All right. So you get drafted number 13. Talk to me about the NBA draft and how that happens. And like, it wasn't like you were like lighting it up. Like you were going to go second round. Like, what was the process of you going? And how much does Patino, how much do you involve your parents? What's the process of like a guy who's not like a star going into the NBA draft?
It starts with, I didn't think this was any going to happen. Like, I wasn't planning on leaving until the end of March, like maybe the last game of the season. Like, it wasn't a thought. Like, I had heard of NBA news, you know, and all that stuff, but I had heard so many times that the guys let the NBA noise kind of affect their college game. So the only time I would hear about the NBA is if my mom would bring it up and be like, do you see what this person put? Do you see where you are now in the mock draft? You know, like that stuff. But I wouldn't listen to it. And I tell the story of the time. I went to LA workout, and I paid for my flight, paid for my hotel, paid to work out and see if I was ready.
And work out with who?
Don McLean.
The trainer dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don McLean. And it was me, Luke Kennard, John Collins, Jordan Bell. And they had already signed. They had already signed with CAA, with the agency.
And they were going to come out.
Yeah, they were coming out. So I had to pay for everything.
So you don't lose your eligibility.
Exactly. So my dorm room was... still had my stuff in it. Like, I didn't know what to expect. And I worked out there for 4 or 5 days. And then I worked out with CP and Paul George, as well as the guys I just named.
So when you're working out with them, what is that like?
I remember the first time I played CP, he scored on Luke and I the first game of five from the elbow without dribbling.
So the game is?
He just gets the pass, and then we got to guard him. And he didn't dribble. He could have, but he didn't.
Okay.
And he scored 5 times in a row. And that's when I was like, I don't know if I'm ready.
He's like, jab-stepping? Like, what is he doing?
Jab-stepping, like, he doesn't have a shot pocket. That's one thing. Like, in one-on-one games, he can shoot it from left side, right side, doesn't matter. He's worked on shooting it from all different sides. So, like, when you see him
you notice that right away.
That's what he told me. And now I noticed that once he said it, I'm watching him, and I'm like, he's not shooting it from the same spot every time.
Okay, hold on. Had you ever played against other pros yet?
At that point?
Yes. In your life? No. Like, that are actually in the pros? Like,
no.
You never played against pros at that point?
Not that I can remember, no.
Okay, so you go out there to work out. You're not even, you fly yourself out there. You flew coach?
Yep.
Or did you get some miles boosted?
Flew coach.
We're talking like, do we fly JetBlue? What were we talking about? Like,
Delta. Love Delta.
Delta. Shout out to Delta.
Shout out Delta.
Delta McDonald's. Listen, I know you're CAA, but I might be getting you more deals at CAA. So we might be signing with Delta and McDonald's. So you fly out there, coach. You work out. So you're Chris Paul. Do you know he's going to be there, Chris Paul?
I didn't know he was going to be working out. The CAA had a meeting because, you know, we meet with the agencies.
Right. And that's allowed.
Yeah. They told me that, like, these guys come and train, but, you know, you don't listen to agents. Like, all right.
And who knows if they're going to show up.
Exactly. And he came. It was.
Were you bugging out?
I was freaked. I was like, what is happening? Like, it was ridiculous. I've never, like, ever expected any of this to happen. Like, to be able to see, like, Chris Paul in person, let alone play, let alone form a relationship with him, you know? And I think once I started doing well, and I think it was a game with him, Paul George, Corey Maggette, and Julius Randle, and we were playing 3-on-3 in the half court, and I did really well that day.
So what are the teams, if you can remember? Because you have to remember. Don't give me that I don't remember. It was just a few months ago. If let me tell you, what are the teams, man? You have to remember the teams. You just named you, Corey Maggette, who was my guy in the Big Three. You probably saw me in the Big Three. I was the Howard Cosell of the Big Three, okay, before you got injured. So it's you, Corey Maggette, Paul George, Chris Paul. Who's the other one?
And Julius Randle.
Julius Randle.
And then me, Luke, John, and
okay.
And so the teams were split up. So are the changes? It wasn't like us against them.
Okay, no, okay. So and they're moving the teams around.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Chris Paul was killing us in pick and roll. Him and PG were just finding a way. I don't know how. And I was like it's just killing.
But you're playing basketball. Now, you're guarding him.
Yeah. And now
so I'm like, yo, I'm shutting you down.
Yeah.
In your head.
Mentally, yeah. I'm like that. And I wasn't doing anything on defense, but offensively, I don't think I missed that day at all. And if you ask Ty about that, like, I didn't miss. I think I made 9 threes in a row.
And while that's happening, are you in the groove, or is there a part of you like, yo, I'm playing with, like, is there ever a part of you like?
I'm just like, F it, I'm not losing. Like, that's just how I get sometimes, like, especially when.
Because you're so mild-mannered. You're, like, so chill. Yeah, but when I see you when you play, you're not chill. Yeah, but, I mean, you're losing, super chill.
Yeah, when we start losing.
You might be the youngest and the most chill person to ever be on this podcast.
When we when losing is involved, like, it's the worst. Like, I get that from, like, when we played at Louisville, like, if we lost, we ran a lot. And I hate running. So it was like, look, we're not losing this game. Like, I'm not going to run Monday through Thursday and play on Friday. Like,
so that's the fourth thing from Coach P.
That's another thing that I developed. And I had it before, but like I said, he heightened it. He sharpened it, if that makes sense.
Okay, well, before we hear about this 3-on-3, I just want to write this down. If you lost, well, what kind of running do you got to do? Like, what would be like, oh, we're doing, are we doing suicides?
No, it was all within practice.
Like, miles?
It was within practice. So we would have a long, so like we lost to Virginia. I tell the story all the time. We lost to Virginia and I played terribly. It was the only game in my life where I gave up. And I can admit that. I gave up. We were down 25, getting booed. And I was like, you know what, whatever. Like, I've never been in Virginia either. I keep that in mind. It's my time in college. So I'm like, you know what, like, whatever, that's it. And we watched the film. And we get into individuals, and we do a layup, and he's just like, you know what? Just go on the treadmill. So I run the treadmill.
He tells you specifically.
Me, Deng and I, yeah. We had our worst game ever at Louisville, and we ran the treadmill. This is the individuals in the morning. So this is about 10 o'clock. Then.
Now, they're telling you, is someone monitoring you on the treadmill?
Yeah, so we have
it's not like strength. Me at Equinox.
No.
Where I'm like, oh, 5 minutes here.
No,
some water.
We're going like 9-10 miles an hour.
Right.
For 10 minutes. Yeah.
And so there's a coach there or an assistant or somebody.
To make sure we're doing that. And then Coach G always looks out. He looks out for us. So, like,
who's Coach G?
Coach G's the strength coach. So, like, if he sees we're about to, like, fall, like, he'll slow it down.
Right, as they should. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. As they should.
It's not like, don't get me wrong. This is not hell. Like, I love playing there.
Right.
I do.
But it's tough. It's basketball.
It's hard. Like, it's not.
I got it. Yeah, you know.
We have a reputation for winning at Louisville. We don't give up. That's not a thing. So then after that, we finished the individual. It's about 45 minutes. A lot of one-on-one. Here's this game called Knockout. It's.
What is it? Give me the details, Donovan. Like, I know the game.
It's one-on-one where you if you score, you get a pass from the coach on each side and you play. And if you miss, the guy. You walk off, and the guy runs all the way, dribbles the half court to allow the guy to come from the baseline to play defense, and you go back at him. So now if you score, like, 5-6 times in a row, you're gassed, but they have all the energy, the people on the baseline. So Deng and I, we were scoring, but, like, we were gassed. So then I think it was VJ individual, like, they all have energy.
That's interesting.
So, like, he's always trying to get you to play against a fresher player.
So it's almost like the offensive player in that drill
is at a disadvantage. After, right. If he scores a lot,
so you're being punished for scoring.
Yeah, but it's genius. It's genius.
Right, it is.
Like if you can score.
What's
now,
the name of this game?
It's just called Knockout.
Did he invent this?
I would believe so.
Okay,
he invented a lot of stuff we did, and it all. When I look back at it, I'm like wow, like I can see like if you can score and if you can keep scoring and you're dead tired, then like. I can only imagine when the other person's tired. Because they're going to be tired when we press.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're going to be exhausted. So that's when you start scoring.
That's dope.
So we did that. And then we had practice, which was 3.5 hours.
Jesus Christ.
And so that was the worst week I've ever had at Louisville after I gave up. Like, I gave up in the game. And I've never done that since. And I really just switched.
So is that something you'll never forget, that game?
Never. I'll never forget
that. And the practices?
Never forget it.
All right. So these 3-on-3s. You were just saying you were destroying Chris Paul. You were killing Paul George. You said it. It's on the tape. You said you were Paul George was like a Cheerio. Eat him, spin around. It's on the tape. All right. So what else? Like what else do you remember from that thing? Because I could imagine as a basketball player, as someone who's looking to play pro, like how exciting and how thrilling that is. And then you're showing up, you know, with them at that level. And obviously for them, it's just a workout. They probably don't even know who you are.
Yeah, and. My agent Ty was telling me, he was like, look, you did really well. Like again, like I was always told, like agents, they, you know, supposed to keep you hyped up. And I hadn't signed yet, so I'm thinking he's just telling me what I want to hear. So then I'll sign. Like I'm like, all right, cool. I'm not gonna listen to you, but I'll listen to you. And then I tell them this all the time. Like, there was a point, there was like the first week I didn't listen to anything else. That I just listened to everybody else, because they, like, what did Chris Paul have to lose by telling me I was going to make it to the NBA? Like, I'd have to see him like four times a year. And you know what I mean? Like, you know, so
right.
Like, bro, you were wrong. You know, so like,
right.
He once he said it, and PG was like, look, like, you can do some really big things. You know, that's from my confidence.
They said that from that workout?
It was like a few workouts after that, yeah. And
who else came? Did anybody, any other pros come?
PG, CP, Julius. No, I think that was those were the only ones that came for pre-draft.
All right, so draft, playing in the NBA. So you're just go out to work out, but do you walk away from these workouts with a change
with
in your
team workouts?
No, from these workouts with Paul George.
Yeah, and those, changed everything. I didn't.
In your head, are you like who are you talking about this with? Besides your, like, are you telling your parent, like your best friend, like your sister? Are you like, yo, like, who are you saying, like, not talking crap, but like, yo, I was out there playing with these guys.
My best friend Eric, probably Pascal. He plays on Villanova.
And you're telling him what?
Like, bro, like, I think I might do this. Like, I think that might be it. You know, I had.
Like, and is he asking thing, you the questions like you, yeah, like, what kind of kicks was Paul George wearing?
Exactly. Yeah.
What kind of kicks was he wearing?
He had his new PGs before they came out. I actually got a few pairs of those too once I signed with CAA, so to try it, because I hadn't signed with a shoe company yet. So I was like trying to try them on to see if I want to go with Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, Jordan. And the biggest thing with me is I'm superstitious. I play baseball, so you know that. So like, I didn't want to talk about it. So, like, I didn't want to talk about it to anybody. So, like, I didn't want to say, look, bro, I'm doing well. I would kind of hide it. I'd be like, bro, I'm doing all right. Like, you know, I'm doing okay. I didn't want to say nothing about it because I thought, like, this isn't going to keep happening. I had a good day. Now I'm like, all right, I'm having a good week. Like, I'm having a good month. You know, now I'm like, all right, maybe I am all right, like, pretty good. So, like, I never gave myself, and I still never do, I never give myself the benefit of
that. No, I could imagine. I mean, it has to be a surreal feeling, yeah. Like, you know, when that moment happens where you're, yeah, you know, it's one thing to play in Rutgers. It's another thing to play in college. Another thing to play Canyon State. What's with these lunatics?
Grand Canyon
or Virginia, whatever. And then it's another thing to be out there with these guys.
Yeah, and like from after that, and then doing the team workouts, and I did pretty well. And I'm not sure if I'm getting drafted. Like, you know, like, no one team's giving me a guarantee. And I told my agent, like, if they tell you they drafted me, I don't want to hear it. Like, I don't want to know. I don't care if it's for the 60th pick or the first pick. I don't want to hear it, because as much as guys say it won't affect them, like, you know, subconsciously you'd be like, oh, I don't need this one. I got one. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
you show up to the draft?
At this point, when I got to the draft, I was like, all right, I'm getting drafted. Like,
did you start working out for teams?
I worked out for 14, 15 teams.
15 teams?
Mm-hmm. In a month.
Okay, what was the most bugged out thing? Did you work out for the Knicks? Was Phil Jackson
out
there?
For the Knicks.
Was
Phil
he
Jackson
awake?
Was there.
What do you
I worked
got
out
for
with
me?
Phil right before the I worked out with them right before the day before the draft.
Okay,
that was my last workout.
So, out of your pre-draft workouts, what are the three coolest, weirdest, surrealist things?
I grew up a big LeBron fan, so when into the Heat locker room, I watch all the documentaries and all that. So when I walked into the Heat locker room, I saw like. So I envision, like, and people are going to think I'm weird for saying
no, that. No, I got
when
you.
Dwayne, when they won the first one, Dwayne was like, this is about to go down, like running down the hallway.
You saw where that
saw where that was happening.
You went and you walked.
So I walked and I was like, oh, like, whoa, like this is crazy. That would probably be the craziest thing when I walked to the Heat. And I saw Pat Riley. That was crazy.
And does he say hello to you?
We had to talk after the pre-draft meeting.
You and Pat Riley?
Yeah.
Did he watch you work out?
That was my worst workout.
Were you miss shots or slower?
Got my ass busted, to be honest with you, by a guy named, I give him credit. People don't like that I do this. I give people credit. But Gian Clavel, he plays on the Mavericks.
Okay.
And I give him credit. Like, he just killed me.
So you guys are, like, doing, like, one-on-one drills?
One-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three. He's just not missing.
Right.
At all. And it was just a bad workout for me. I told Ty, I was like, look, this is killing me. Like, I don't know. Like, it's a rigorous process. Like, it's a blessing, and don't get me wrong, but it's a lot to fly from city to city, work out, fly. It's like NBA schedule.
Right.
No, but yeah,
but it's not, a little bit even more. Exactly. There's no rest.
It's in a month, so you got to be able to gauge the rest, and you got to be able to get the training on your own. You got to know, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
I never stretched.
I never do any of that.
I got you.
So then,
what was the conversation with Pat Riley like?
Just he asked me, you know, like, why am I a good fit? You know, what
he asked you?
Yeah.
He says. Why are you a good fit?
Just to hear my answer.
Are you in an office?
It was me, him, Eric Spoelstra, and two, I think. I don't want to get these guys' names wrong.
No, just like, two other flunkies. Positions.
Yeah.
We'll call them flunkies. I'm going to call them flunkies for you. It's you, Eric Spoelstra, and two flunkies. Not and Bob McAdoo.
No.
Okay.
Not Bob McAdoo.
Okay. Okay. So, but are you in the office? Are there championship rings? Yeah. Are like the trophies around?
The post of LeBron celebrating is behind me. So, like, I'm still in awe for that. But I'm like, I got to keep my composure, answer right, because I'm trying to get drafted.
Right.
You know? So. He's asking me why am I a good fit, and I said, like, look, this is I've been watching you guys, so I could tell you about your game against in the win streak where you almost lost to Orlando, and after that, LeBron was like, we're not worried about the win streak, but I know damn well you guys are worried about the win streak. You know, I could tell them.
You're telling him that?
Yeah, I'm telling like I tell them like everything that I remember because I grew up watching it, so like I knew it, like I was a fanatic, and I was really like a passionate fan, so I could tell you. Like when Ray Allen hit the shot, like they were freaking out. And Mickey Aronson said that like they brought the yellow rope out or whatever, right. And they were freaking out over that.
Right.
And then Ray Allen hit the shot and it changed everything.
So right.
I could tell, I could just say that just because I saw it.
I got you.
And I was telling them all that and they were like, whoa. I'm like, yeah, like.
So when they're saying good fit, they're saying for the Miami Heat, not for that specific team that they have going into 2017?
I think they want, like, some teams will ask you to be like, who is our point guard or who is this? So see if you know,
right.
Do your homework. But they were asking me, like, why would I be good and work well in the Heat?
The Miami Heat organization.
And I said, you look at a guy like Norris Cole, who no one really knew, came
I got
in
you.
And did work, you know, and worked his butt off, and he ended up having 18 in a big playoff game.
I got you. I got
Stuff
you.
Like that, you know?
And then what was the other workout meeting that was, like, cool like that? Interesting Utah. That stuck Utah.
Come on.
This, the Utah Jazz.
Utah. The only reason why I would put Miami.
We didn't put it first. We just asked for cool stories. I said, yeah. What happened was, I said Phil Jackson, and then the correlation between Phil and Pat.
I just, only because I was a LeBron fan.
Like the, gotcha. That's, you're allowed
that's
to
the
be.
Biggest thing, but.
Not no more.
Not at all.
Okay.
Utah was crazy because I knew nothing about it. You know, all these teams you know, I knew nothing about Utah. I came in there, and I'm not a big sightseer person, and I was crazy about the mountains.
That's
the
biggest person cool. knows.
I was crazy about it. Like, I was like, from my hotel room, I could see all of it. I FaceTimed almost everybody in my contact list to show them what I was looking at. And we had the meeting, like, Mr. Lindsay was, like, real, real cool. Like, he was just like, look, like, they had the 24th pick at the time. So no one, first of all, people were wondering why I came to work out for them because they thought I was projected to go higher, like, in the teens and up.
Right.
So like, why? Like, people had no idea why I was working out for them. I'm like, look, I'm going to work out for every team because it's not a given. Like,
right.
You never know what could happen. And they obviously traded up. But I'm like, look, like, I love the coaching staff. They were running, plays, you know, playing like little games within the game. And it was awesome. Like, and I just loved the conversations we had. Like, you just felt a genuine bond with the staff. And if you could feel that with the GM and the guy who like makes the decision,
right?
Know, you feel confident. You
know, that's
you feel
cool.
Good. And I left that meeting thinking, all right, if I don't go where I'm supposed to be able to go, at least I think I'll go 24. You know, I'll go to the Utah Jazz because I feel like I had a great workout and I didn't miss a shot in that one either. That was a big one.
You're just on.
Just on. That was my first workout, my first pre-draft workout ever. And I just felt like I was, this is before the renovations and new practice facility. So like this, they were telling me about all the new stuff and everything. And I was like, you know, this might be cool. Like, I would love to be here. And I said in the interview and people were like, kind of like, who is this guy? That like, because everybody said, like, no one says, oh, I just love Utah. Like, I love it. Like, I love it.
I hear you.
It's amazing out there. And for that to happen, for them to get up into 13, it was kind of a blessing.
Are you impressed? One of the things, I went to a Utah Jazz game last year. Are you impressed with the DJ the home DJ at the Utah Jazz? Because they get busy. Like the little music cues, it's all New York 90s hip hop. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was there, I was like, yo, I didn't know that they even like played this in here.
The thing is, they pay attention to little things. So like, I know when Rudy comes out, they play like, they used to play French music. So like, when I said I love Dave East, or if I start playing Dave East a lot in my Snap stories, or like they pay attention to that. So like, they'll play it when I'm on the court warming up for pregame.
That's dope.
So like they pay attention. Like they pay attention.
And when you're bringing the ball up the court, they play like Nas, exactly. Biggie, the Beatnuts.
They play like it's weird how they do. They pay attention to little things. Like pay attention when Ricky brings the ball up, or like someone, or like AB, or someone like, you know, someone, and then pay attention to the music they listen to. They'll pick it because of that.
I like that. It's, all right. So since you got drafted, what has been the biggest thing that you've been able to do? Like buy. You got your mother a car.
Got my mom a car.
Like you went to the store. Like, how does that work?
So I was thinking about like what I would get her for her birthday, and you know, I couldn't give her the car in Utah and have it shipped, so I decided, like, we had a New York trip to we played the Knicks and the Nets, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna do it now. Like, I made that decision probably a week before. Like, I knew I wanted to get her a car, I just didn't know when. So I made a decision a week before, went to the dealership, and I didn't know how long it takes to do all that. Like, that process is long. Like,
had you ever bought a car before?
No.
Do you have a driver's license?
Yes, I do.
Because in New York City, I didn't have a driver's license.
I didn't have one until this year.
Did you know how to drive?
Yes.
Okay, so you may or may not have driven before, you just didn't have a license.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so but you just got to, because in Utah, you have to drive.
Yeah.
So you didn't have a driver's license. You had never bought a car. So the first car that you actually bought
was my mom.
That's dope.
Yeah.
And did she had no idea?
No clue. Because she said she wanted it, and I immediately shot the idea down. I said, nope, it's too expensive. I'm never going to get it. Like, and that's just who I am. And I was do that, and I'd be like, all right, that's exactly what I want. I knew exactly the color, white, with a black tinted windows, everything. Like, I knew it. And then next thing I knew, I was at the dealership about an hour, and I surprised her at school. I would say around like 4 or so, and towards the end of school, in front of everybody.
At her
I went to school there as well, Granite's Country Day, but she teaches there now.
Oh, okay. So your mother's a teacher?
Yes.
Okay, that's dope. And she was totally surprised.
No clue.
All right, and your father works for the Mets?
Yes.
And you play baseball?
Yes, I did.
What level of baseball? Like, I played baseball,
too. I played high school baseball.
Okay.
I stopped when I broke my wrist. I was
playing baseball?
Yeah.
Playing sliding?
Baseball. Ran into my own teammate.
What, are you left fielder, right fielder?
Shortstop.
Shortstop.
Ran into my catcher.
How do you do that?
So my team wasn't the greatest.
Yeah, no kidding.
The third baseman didn't see it. The pitcher didn't see it. And the catcher took 2 steps in the wrong direction. So I was the only one that saw it. So I took off, and I never looked down. Just kept my eye on the ball. And the catcher made up ground. And we ran into each other.
So your baseball team is the Mets. Your father works for the Mets?
Yeah.
So do you love baseball?
Yeah, I watch all the time.
And you wear number 45.
Because Michael Jordan wore it for baseball and basketball.
Wearing the 4-5. But he wore it as a baseball player. What do you think of Michael Jordan's baseball career? Did you see the 30 for 30?
Yeah, I think you can't hold someone who's fantastic at one sport to expect them to do the same thing in another sport, especially when it's a lot harder to play baseball than it is basketball. And I'm going to be honest with
you. Is it really?
It is.
Why?
To hit, like, you have, I don't want to know the exact numbers, but you only have like 0.3 seconds to figure out if the ball is going to change direction, if it's going to slow down out of nowhere, if it's going to be a fastball, if it's coming at your head, if it's going inside, outside, whether you should swing. On top of that, you got to know if the third baseman is playing in, whether you should bunt, whether you should hit. Like, there's so much you should think about in that matter of time.
Right.
And it's a big mental game.
Could you have played college baseball? Like, were you at that level?
Yes.
Like, did you get looked at for college? Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
As a shortstop?
I had.
How tall are you?
6'1".
You're only 6'1"?
6'1". 6'3" with shoes, but without shoes, 6'1".
So I could take you in the post, probably, maybe.
People think that, but...
Okay, you're 6'1", without, like, when they measure you at these combines, 6'1".
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, so you get drafted by the Utah Jazz. Summer League, who did you compete against? De'Aaron Fox, Lonzo Ball, there's all these people.
The only person I had played against that was a big name was Jason Tatum. That was it.
Now, you played him in college.
Played him, yeah, twice. 3 times. Yeah.
He went to?
Duke.
Okay. You're like, now, he plays with the Celtics.
Yeah.
He played for Duke. Duke bumped Louisville.
From the ACC tournament.
Is that sting?
Only because we were up 15. And we went they went to zone. And we used to torch zone the whole year. We just had a bad game.
So,
bad shooting game.
Is that like a sub rivalry? Like, for you, are you like?
No. I don't. I let that one go. South Carolina got him back.
Uh huh.
So I let that one go. If we had lost to Kentucky, I think I would feel a little different. But we won, and I bring it up to De'Aaron and Bam and Malik all the time.
Have you played against De'Aaron yet? Have you played against Sacramento?
I played against the Kings. I played against Bam, and I haven't played against Malik either.
Okay. But yeah. Those are your guys.
I'm cool with them. Like,
right. Guys, I mean, yeah. did you guys grow up like at camps? And
so I went to the same camps as I played on Bam. So Bam, Malik, De'Aaron, and I, we went to a thing called Nike
Elite?
Nike Elite, something like that.
Something Nike something.
Yeah, Nike Global.
Nike Global.
And I was on Bam's team.
Okay.
And he was a junior in high school at that point.
And you were a senior? And who else was at the camp? Who were the other juniors and seniors?
Our class was Jaylen Brown was there. Tatum was there. Skye LeBissiere was there. Steven Zimmerman was there. Anybody could think of De'Aaron Fox. Prince Ali, Jaylen Coleman. Elite, like the elites, elite of the elite in our class.
And right.
If you go back and look at my class rankings from high school, like anybody from 1 to like 40 was there.
Right.
And Bam and I, we didn't do too well. I had Malachi Richardson on my team, Alonzo Trier. So we had a bunch of great guys, and we played against De'Aaron's team in the championship, and they beat us by like 20, 30.
Uh-huh.
And we played against Malik, we ended up winning that game. So it was like the Midwest versus like the South versus the East, you know, like stuff like that. And that was the first time I really got to know Bam.
Okay.
I tried to recruit him to Louisville.
Okay.
And then he went to Kentucky, and I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't need you. We don't need you.
And then so when you beat him.
We beat him. I let him have it.
And so now that, like, you know, this crew of guys that you know, 16, 17, 18, you're in the NBA. Do you guys, like, stay in touch? Like, I'll just go to LeBron because he's, like the sort of the one person that everybody sort of. Like, are you guys, like, communicating? I played this one. I played that one. Like, are you guys stay in touch?
I wouldn't say as much as I played him. I would be like, if I see, like, De'Aaron had a good game, like, I'll hit him up. Like, I keep the notifications to see how they're doing. That way I could be like, all right, good game, or keep it up. Or, like, just be supportive. I think it's the biggest thing, as well as being funny. So, like, I had a bad shoot night. And then, bam, one night I'd be like, damn, you can't shoot. Like, just making a joke. Like,
right.
Stuff like that, just to keep it funny. But definitely keep in touch with all those guys, for sure.
What do you think now? You tweeted, I don't know if you saw my Instagram, my Lonzo Ball show up at the Garden with the Nas sweatshirt. Now you're a New Yorker. You tweeted. What is your take on the whole thing? The whole phenomenon. Is it the talk of the?
So what people don't understand is, like, Lonzo and I are friends,
right?
So like that's not like this wasn't like a hatred. I don't.
Oh no,
that's what you tweet. People took it that way, and I don't. I want to get that, like, out there. Now, I don't know why people took it that way, but
because we're in the new world, man.
Very true.
This is like you don't need to fist fight anymore. Like, exactly. who's the best Twitter?
Exactly. So when he did that, I was like, man, like that's really like disrespectful to Nas, you know? Like, it's not like they had any like beef or anything, you know? It was just like just out of nowhere. But you know, being from New York, Nas is a legend, you know?
Right?
That's like. It's like if I or somebody else went and put
Snoop Dogg.
NWA or Snoop Dogg, like, changed the album cover to their face, like, you know, like, no, you can't do that,
right?
But
and did that tweet, like, and sort of like people like were like, yo, what is this, like, what has been the blowback or sort of the, like the reaction from that?
I'll give Big Baller Band credit on this. They got a huge following. They got support.
Did you hear from a lot of people?
I had 12-year-olds, like 11-year-olds. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. They were going at it, and I was like,
"Do you respond back or no?"
No, not with stuff like that. Like, I respond to like one guy said,
like compliments.
Like Ricky should be traded. I was like, "Come on, are you serious?" Like,
right.
Like, I was no, like stuff like that. Like, it won't. I won't. Going full.
You were not
Twitter,
gonna, you're not arguing.
Blast mode. No. There's no need for that.
So I don't know if you saw my. Did you see my post, Madison Square?
Yeah, I did.
Did you? And LaMelo Ball. Now he's 16 years old. Yeah. I have a 17-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 17-year-old son. So I couldn't say anything back because that'll look nuts.
Yeah.
But he hit. He said something about me. You're ugly. Don't let me. And I was like. I had to really think it through, like, because I'm a professional trash talker.
Yeah.
But then I was like, my son's older than him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I believe
that's the biggest thing. Like, people don't understand. Like, they go, why do athletes, like, go crazy back at fans, you know?
I get it.
It's not the older fans you should worry about. It's the kids.
They're nuts.
The kids say
so
ruthless stuff. And I laugh at it because I'm like, man, like, when I was that age, I said ruthless things too. But, like, it's gotten worse.
No, it's gotten worse. It's crazy.
It is wild what they say, but
I mean, it's insane.
And then as soon as the person who has something to lose, like has that platform, responds, then it's like a bigger deal.
Yeah, you're a better man than me with it. That's up. So, being in the NBA so far, when you got out on the court, what was the first moment where you were like, "Yo, this is bugged out"?
I think when we played Westbrook, because I grew up a big Westbrook fan too, as well as LeBron, because I kind of relate a little bit more to Westbrook with the way I play, and he's actually my size, you know. But when we played him, I started that game, I think. I think I started that game, like, just out of nowhere, because I just, at the last second, they just threw me in there. I wasn't nervous. I was calm. I worked on focus to keep my energy completely calm.
And it helped, OKC or Utah?
It was in Utah. So it helped that I had played with PG and Melo over the summer. So it kind of kept me calm. But Russ was like, you know, I watch his highlights to the end of me. Like,
Have you ever seen him play live in person before this?
I've never been to Knicks games when they play like the Nets or like that'd be it.
They're not great games.
Yeah.
So you never even seen Russell Westbrook in real life?
Never in person. No.
So you walk out on the court, you're starting. Mm-hmm. And like, you're just like, are you checking Russell? No.
No, not at the beginning. I'm like, all right, so like, this is it. Like, all right, here we go. Like,
was that moment in yourself like, this is it, here we go?
It was the walk from the bench to the center of the court was what really got me. Cause like, I sit down on the bench, you know, I wait and watch what the flow of the game is like. That's how I come off the bench. That's what I was doing. I just get used to it. They told me 30 seconds before the game started, oh, you're starting. Like, just go. Because I guess Ronnie had like, it was bleeding or something, so he had to change his uniform or whatever. And I go in there, and out of nowhere, like, it's go time.
And you play ball.
Yeah.
How does it feel so far to like be like this sleeper rookie and hear other players, you know, giving, you know, respect and like, you know, how has it been so far? Like, are
those
you like.
Those are the moments where I'm like, whoa. Like, those are the moments where, like, if I hear it, I see it. You know, I try my best not to hear it and see it, but the NBA is a lot different than college. Like, the media is a lot different. So if someone like Chris Paul or Paul George or when KG says something, even Tracy McGrady, like, when they say it, like, it's going to be known. Like, your phone will go off.
There's no way to avoid it.
There's no way to avoid
it. Even if you don't hear it, your friend will hear it, your mom's, cousin's cousin.
There's no way. So my biggest thing I've worked on is looking at it and being like, oh, all right. Like, it's like... Like, when I say oh, like, I mean, like,
right. I mean, it's
they can say all this stuff now, and I could be done next year. Like, I could be, like, God forbid, not hurt or say, but
no,
like,
I
could have the worst shooting slump in history and not make a shot ever again.
I got you,
you know. So, I try my best to keep calm and kind of be like, all right, this is great, it's early success, fantastic. But one, we're not even reached February yet, which is the halfway point, essentially.
Right.
But you know, when you have guys like those
rookie
guys,
rookie sophomore game,
true, yeah,
that's coming up.
But I'm trying, like, that's the thing. Like, when I don't even talk about it, like,
rookie, you know, sophomore game, you're playing in it. I'm telling you that right now. Like, I don't know how it works. I've been to some rookie sophomore games in the last since they even made that stupid game. First of all, you're going to be like a highlight film in that. Second of all, there's guys that played in the rookie sophomore game that ain't even playing in the outbacks of Australia anymore. You're playing in the rookie sophomore game. That's for sure.
Just gotta keep it going.
We're going to the rookie sophomore game. Are you a dunk contest dude?
I'll do it. But if you've seen Aaron Gordon, Derrick Jones, and all those guys, I'm not gonna win it, but I'll do it.
Okay.
I would love to do it. That would be amazing.
To do the dunk contest.
I keep telling people this joke. I grew up with Derrick Jones, like around him for a long time. I've probably done 13 dunk contests in my life. I lost 12 to Derrick Jones. So, like, I'll definitely do it. I got some dunks that I think will be cool. But
you got some dunks?
Yeah, I got some dunks.
So have you gotten an invite? Like,
Do
you have any idea how that even works?
No, that whole weekend is something I try to stay farthest away from even
thinking
about.
Yes, as you should. I totally understand that. I'm just curious, like, Will you hit me and like let me know like if and when you get these emails? I'm just curious, like, how does it happen? Like, does Adam Silver go, yo, you want to be in the Dunk Contest? Or is it like the two guys that were in the meeting with you and Pat Riley, those flunkies? Like, who? I wonder how that works.
Yeah, I would like to know too, but
that'd be
a great experience.
But you're saying that if you go in the Dunk Contest, you're confident that you can do your thing.
Yeah, I definitely think I surprised people, but like, after what I saw Zach LaVine and Eric Gordon,
yeah, they're freaks.
A little different.
Is Zach still hurt?
He's doing windmills now. So,
but is he playing?
He's not playing yet.
That's fine. But I just want to
Glenn Robinson too.
Who?
It's Glenn Robinson.
Right.
Yeah. Can't forget that.
I want to give you one piece of advice. This is my piece of advice in the dunk contest. If you get in the dunk contest, because you're 6'1", mm-hmm. okay, you're a high jumper. Mm-hmm. There's like, and also we already said it. You know, Gordon he's the favorite. This guy's beaten you 12 times. This one, that one. The one thing that I suggest, don't be too cool to not work up a little lather beforehand. Because I noticed that guys, when they're in the dunk contest, get warmed up. But it's a dunk contest.
A lot of it is nerves. Like,
we got to get warmed up.
Because you think about it, like some guys, like,
we need to get warmed up.
It's complicated. Like, you can't just do the same dunk and get warm. You got to do something crazy to get warm.
No, I'm not talking about when you start dunking. I'm talking about before you start dunking. That's what I mean. When you first dunk, yeah. We need to get warm. Maybe we do some suicides.
Oh,
like,
you mean like get, okay.
You need to get warm. Yeah, yeah. So when you get to your first dunk, like, you're going to see whoever's the judges are, Dominique, Vince Carter, whoever the hell it is, that first dunk, like, you can't miss it. You have to have a little sheen because these dudes, they get out there, they're too cool for school. They're not ready to dunk.
Yeah.
So if you go into the dunk contest, that's my suggestion.
Okay.
And I may or may not be at the dunk contest, but I want those echoing in your ears. You ever see Rocky? Mm-hmm. Like Mickey? I'm Mickey. You gotta get warm. Like, you can't be too cool. It's like, if you're going to go out there and do it, we got to go out there and we got to do it.
I got you.
We got to be warmed up. First dunk, like, oh, shit. Harlem is in the house. Like, that's what I want Kenny Smith to be like. Yo, Donovan Mitchell. Like, New York is in the building.
Got you.
Okay. You're an Adidas, you wear Adidas.
Yep.
You like fashion.
Yep.
How many pairs of sneakers have, like, do you have every single pair of Yeezys?
Not every single pair. I'm getting close. My shoe game, I was always the one who loved looking at shoes. And I'm not the one that would be like, oh, these are the Aqua 8s. Or like, no, I'm not, that's not me. I never was that guy because I couldn't really afford them. So I was just like, whatever. But now that I'm like an Adidas athlete and I can actually get all these shoes now, I think I have on the web, like if you look at the Adidas website and like all the crazy shoes people have, I think I have probably like two pairs of every single one.
But are you getting like this color and that color and
every
Yeezy
single,
this?
Every single color of everything. Like, 'cause you have to have options when you travel. Yeah. Like my travel, when I wear a size 15, walk around shoes, 16 when I play.
16 and, when you play?
Yeah.
Because we got tape, we got two pairs of socks. Exactly. How many pairs of socks do we wear?
I use one.
Just one?
Just one, but I like to have a little extra room in my shoes.
Okay.
So just 16.
For explosiveness, what are we doing here?
I don't know. It's just how I've always been. I used to wear 17s and I wore two pairs of socks, but.
Let's take it easy.
Got a little
heavy. Getting nuts.
Got a little heavy.
That's too much.
Got a little heavy.
Yeah, that's too much. Because maybe were you wearing 17s when Patino told you to lose the weight?
I wore 16s my sophomore year.
Okay. Maybe that's the problem. Yeah. Maybe you could have just went down to a 15. You could have been eating cheeseburgers and pizza the whole time. All right. Rappers. Totally different generation. Obviously, we talked about the Lonzo, Nas thing. Who are your favorite guys? You said Dave East. Harlem's in the house.
Dave East.
East Harlem's in the house.
Fab is my favorite rapper of all time.
What do you think of the Fab Jada Kiss album?
Love it. Kiss gave him a shout. He hit me up. That was pretty cool. Afterwards.
That's sick.
Yeah, I know DJ Clue.
Okay.
So I know DJ Clue. But yeah, Fab and Kiss. Future.
He's dope.
Future's always up there. Drake, obviously.
Okay.
Wasn't a fan of Kendrick until this last album.
Why?
I'm not one for like his music makes you think a lot. Like, and I'm more of a beats kind of guy. Like, if you have tight beats.
I like this goddamn kid, man. That's the same thing I say.
I'm not more one, and I know Fab. Like, people say Fab doesn't make crazy beats. Like, I know that. Like, but you can only have but so many lyricists. You got to have something that like makes you like want to like.
You need a banger.
Dunk on somebody. Like, you need something like that. And then he came out with the last one, and I was just like, not only did he have beats. Like, Humble is my favorite song. And one thing I'll tell you about Utah that the DJ you're talking about, they play Humble. Like, I have that. That's my thing. Like, just be humble. That's my thing. And they play that every time we warm up. So like that's my song, and like that last album really I really like that one.
Yeah, it was good. Have you played in the Garden yet?
Yeah, we played on the 15th. I remember that day.
What was that like?
I was nervous the entire game. I usually
the whole game,
and the first play was ran for me, and I had a dunk, and I made it. And usually that's like, all right, we're good. No, the whole game.
How do you like? Why is that?
I don't think I've had that many family members there, friends. I've never played in the Garden. I've been to the
you
Garden.
Never played in the Garden, even high school.
Never played. So I've never been that low. Like I've never been court level before ever. Like I've been to a Rangers game and I've been low, but like wasn't the court.
I got you.
When that happened, I was like this is crazy.
I got to tell you, I'm so appreciative you came and joined me on the show because I'm so looking forward to the rest of your career and to talk to you. And I wish you health.
Thank you.
And a continued successful career. And I think it's so cool to have a chance to talk to you when you're just such in the inception of what I hope is a long, healthy, prosperous, and you get everything out of basketball that you can, man.
I appreciate it.
All right, Donovan Mitchell.
Thank you so much.
Yo, I appreciate you. But just, if we get to the dunk contest, what are we doing?
Warming up. Suicide something.
Something.
Treadmill, whatever.
Something.
Whatever it's got to be.
Because I swear, if I'm at the freaking dunk contest, and it's in L.A. this year, and we're not thinking ahead. But if you wind up at the dunk contest, I see you out there, okay? You got parents, family, friends. If I see you out there and you're not warmed up, don't be surprised if I run on the court. And like I might be like, yo, my man, you're not ready to dunk.
Got you.
Okay.
I got you.
Yo.
Appreciate it.
This is so dope. All right. What can I say? Donovan Mitchell, thank you for joining me on the I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast. My man Ty, thank you for setting it up. I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast. We'll be back with more Smash Mouth podcasting, more guests, more G Moody, more ranting, more raving. 2018 is ours. I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast. Miles, take me out of here with something real funky, real nice, and real proper.